This is one of my favorite times of year, the Christmas time, as we think about the Advent, the coming of Jesus Christ and the incarnation, that He came in flesh. But I think that sometimes when we sing the songs that we sing, and they're beautiful, I love them, I love Christmas music, I love O Holy Night, it's probably just one of my all-time favorite songs, because simply just because of what it declares, and that it inspires us to fall in worship before the living and true God. But it's easy sometimes to sing the songs and forget into what Jesus came, to forget into what and what time period, what context the incarnation took place. When we look back in history, some 2,000-ish, a little bit more than years ago, when Jesus comes into the world, He's coming into the world that is pretty well owned by the Roman Empire. He's coming into circumstances. He's coming into mass poverty. Some historians, the most conservative estimates of a third of the population of Rome were slaves. Some say more than that. So He's coming into poverty. He's coming into the war machine of Rome. He's coming into disease and hardship. He's coming into what we might call darkness, a dark period in human history where we have this moment that is probably not marked by tons of historians, but as we look back on it, we see what Isaiah would come to say, a great light has appeared. For those who walk in darkness, Isaiah 9, when he begins to make his prophecy, he's talking about, he's looking forward to the incarnation, this event that's going to come, and the way he describes the nations in Isaiah 9, the way he describes the context, this who are walking in darkness. And so when we think about that and we start to put this in its historical context, dear friends, we begin to see something about the truth of the incarnation. The incarnation is true whether we believe it or not. The incarnation is a fact of reality whether people acknowledge it or not. But when we see how Jesus comes into the world, we sing about it. We sing about shepherds and angels declaring glory and shepherds coming in worship and people who are walking in brokenness and hopelessness who are celebrating because something has occurred that is going to change human history. And when we think about that, you know, it's not so different from where we are today. Why tell you? Why give you a brief history of Rome? A very brief one, because maybe if you're like me, this year has been a tough year. People walking in darkness and people experiencing hard times and losing loved ones and seeing people fight disease and seeing people lost in hardship and seeing people who are dealing with a deep sense of brokenness. And here's what I will tell you now that was true when it happened. The incarnation is the answer to human brokenness. It's what we've been hearing about articulated in the scriptures. It's what the readers of the Bible have been reading to us this evening as they're detailing these events. What is it that the angel tells Joseph and Mary? This is, you're going to call his name Jesus. Why? Because he'll save his people from their sins. In other words, he's coming into the world to deal with sin and death. He's coming into the world to deal with darkness. He's coming into the world, John would say in his gospel, to bring the light of life, and the darkness will not overcome it. That really is the hope at Christmas time. When we think about the coming of Christ, it's not that it means that we have no more problems. It's not that it means that life comes easier to us as people of faith. What it does mean is that as we go through the valley of the shadow, i.e. darkness, that there is a light that the darkness cannot conquer. This was a hope to a people who were lost in Roman oppression, who were under the shackles of slavery. But you see, dear friends, there's a bigger slavery at work in the world than just in empires. It's called sin. Sin has been at work in the world since Genesis 3. And Jesus didn't just come to say, hey, let me get you out from under the Roman Empire. That was never his mission. He said, there is a bigger taskmaster and enslaver over you, and it's sin. And he came to break the power of sin and death. And so when we sing, O Holy Night, or when we sing the first Noel, or Hark the Herald Angels Sing, or Joy to the World, what we're really celebrating is not just an event of birth, but an event that ripples out to this very day. an event that breaks the chains of sin and death, an event that delivers people as far as the curse is found. And so an event that delivers from addiction, an event that delivers from the fear of pain and death, an event that delivers from all sorts of other idolatries, these things that people raise up as potential saviors that really aren't that. Christmas rings around every year to remind us there is one Savior, and His name is Jesus, and He saves us from our biggest enemy, which is often ourselves. That flesh at work in us that would derail us or get us sidetracked in the wilderness, Jesus comes to save us from the curse and all its ramifications. And so when we think about everything we've read tonight, I've quoted back a little bit from Matthew and Luke, I actually chose two verses out of the book of Romans to just share very briefly as an encouragement to remind us. We can hear about Christmas all day long. We can think about Christmas all day long, but the question then we have to ask is, why does it matter? Why does it matter that Jesus has come? Why does it matter that Jesus came as a light in the darkness? Why should I be concerned with it? What does it mean? What is it driving at? Paul answers that really very beautifully. You have it printed in your bulletin, those two verses that Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. What Jesus did for us, we couldn't count all the blessings tonight. But one of the things that I want for us to see is He's coming as light. He came as light. He has come as life. But one of the things He has done that is so essential to you and me is to give us a righteousness that we don't have on our own, that we can't manifest or make happen in ourselves, but a righteousness that is absolutely necessary for us to have a right relationship with God. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. Paul starts this, in verse 16, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Where was Paul? Who was Paul writing this letter to? Romans. He was telling Roman people, Roman citizens, he was telling Roman, all Christians, "I'm not ashamed of this message," because this truly is the message of salvation. Not being out from under this imperial power, though, yes, whenever we can, but this is the message that we need, and I'm not ashamed of it. This is the message that gives freedom to those who are captive. Dear friends, freedom is not just about being able to do what we want. It's free to do the things that we need to do before Christ and the Lord. That freedom doesn't come from us just deciding to do it one day. It comes primarily, solely, exclusively through Jesus Christ. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the euangelion," this message, this gospel. For it is, what is? The gospel is the power of God for salvation. So when Jesus comes in the incarnation, He's bringing the power of God for salvation to save those who are lost in sin and death, to not just leave them to themselves, to not just be content for us to walk in darkness, but to shine light. And firstly, we who walk in the light, the first thing the light has to do is shine the light in ourselves for us to see by the power of Christ who we are, what we need, and what Christ can give us. So Paul says this, "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who works?" No. Everyone who does the right thing? No. Everyone who believes. Now, Paul is not giving us an easy believism here. And what I mean by that is, Paul isn't saying, you just know the right things and you'll be fine. This type of faith that Paul is talking about is a genuine belief in the lordship and the salvation of Jesus Christ, who alone saves us from sin and death. This is not him saying, you just do better and everything will be okay. Paul is giving us the blueprint here. Trust in the one who has come and died for his people that you might live and have righteousness. Because see, dear friends, that righteousness, the righteousness, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What does Paul mean there? Does he mean the righteousness that belongs to God, like God's righteousness, or the righteousness that we need in God? The answer to that question is yes. It means both of those things. God is righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? I think sometimes we reduce it just to a simple moral category. What does it mean to be righteous? Well, it means to be right. It means to be just. It means to be in good standing with the law. It does mean all those things. But you know what righteousness really is? It is to be rightly related to the Lord. How do we do that? How do we become rightly related to the Lord? Through the power and work of Jesus Christ. Paul says through believing in him, trusting in his work, trusting in his authority and power, and walking and living by faith in Christ. This righteousness is not just this moral category, dear friends. It is a relationship. It is to be rightly related to the Lord, and that only happens in Christ. So when we start looking at what Jesus did when he came to the earth, I don't have to articulate it all to you. You can read it for yourselves in the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That tell you exactly what Jesus did. He brought healing. He brought hope. He brought joy. He brought a fearlessness in the face of death. He told his followers, look, they're going to kill you. They're going to hate you. And people won't listen to you. And for the joy that is set before Jesus and his followers, they went forward. Why? Because they were given a freedom that the world can't give. They were given a freedom that no amount of money can buy, no amount of good works can earn, no amount of status can merit. It only comes in Christ. And so then, as Christians, when we start talking about Christmas and the Advent, or we say Merry Christmas, what do we mean by that? Why is Christmas merry? Do we just say it out of habit? Do we just say it because it seems like the right thing to say? It's a nice thing to say? Or have we begun to understand that Christmas is merry, it's happy, it's joy-filled, because through this event, God has made us whole. He's restored his image to us in Christ. That's what makes Christmas merry. So this Christmas, you may be dealing with the death of a loved one. Christmas can still have joy. You can still have joy. You may be dealing with, you've lost your job. You may be dealing with a malady in yourself or someone you're watching go through it, and it feels like it's a very hard time. Well, because the incarnation is true, because Jesus is who he says he is, he doesn't make all those pains just go away automatically. But what he does tell us is, why can we have joy? Because we'll never walk through that alone. He told his disciples right before he left the earth, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Where does this begin? What is the genesis of that promise? The genesis of that promise is God putting a child in Mary's womb and saying, this one is mine, and he's going to save his people from their sins, and people will know freedom and grace and joy and mercy and all the other beautiful things that we have in Christ through this one. So when we come at Christmas time, these are not just songs that we know to sing. These are not just familiar passages we read. Every year at this time of year, we come to remind ourselves and one another just why this is so valuable, just why it's so important that Jesus came in flesh as a baby. I want you to think about the most helpless being in the world is a baby. And he came as one of those and grew to be a man, and in his adulthood preached the kingdom and brought the kingdom and died for his people. And he is coming back. We celebrate this Advent in anticipation of the next one, when Jesus comes back to fully and finally consummate the kingdom. So this Christmas, I say to you, Merry Christmas. I say to you, Merry Christmas, because within that message, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, that is in Christ alone, we might become the righteousness of God. That is the message of the Bible. That is the message of this season. That is the message of the resurrection. And that is the message we proclaim and preach. And we march under that banner. So I hope you're encouraged. Whatever pain you might be experiencing, whatever hardship you might be going through. I don't make light of it, but lean into the Savior who is willing, who is near to the brokenhearted, and who gives us hope and life and peace, even in the face of real grief. So Merry Christmas. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for the songs that we have sung, the scriptures that we have heard, this very quick devotion in the Bible, as we're reminded of the power of the advent of the incarnation. Oh, Father, we have given so much truth in just a relatively small book, and in it you give us all that we need for life and salvation. And I pray for all of us here. I pray for those of us who might be here who are in you, who believe. I pray that you would deepen our roots. If there are those in here this evening who do not believe, Lord, draw them to yourself, we pray, that they would know the freedom that only you can give, the freedom that breaks all chains and captivity, and that gives us hope. I pray that we would all know you, and I pray that as we celebrate this season this year, we would be reminded of the real joy that you give. Through Christ we pray. Amen.